So I'm joined now by Russell Short, founder director of Crooks Based Property Partners at Home Team. Russell, good morning. Thanks for joining me.
Good morning, Jamie. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. How about
good.
You?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Very well indeed.
Good, good. So you first moved to Sheffield to study urban regeneration in the city.
I did, yes. I actually moved up to Barnsley in my first year. I didn't do too well in that year, I have to admit. So I moved over to Sheffield and studied urban regeneration. Fantastic course run by Sheffield Hallam just across the road. Brilliant course and came out with a good degree at the back of it.
So what about your time at Sheffield then? Did you enjoy it? What made you stay here and make your home here?
Sheffield's just been an amazing place from start to finish. It's a really friendly place. We all know it as a bit of a village. Everybody seems to know each other. We were talking just before and there was a few people that we've got in association that we know. Since leaving university, I met my wife at the time and it's just been a good city to me. Can't see any reason why I'd want to leave.
It's got a huge retention rate in terms of students who come here wanting to stay.
I think it's the most in the UK, to be fair.
Okay, and you founded a couple of businesses, Property Partners and Home Team. Can you tell us a little bit about your businesses and your story about setting those up? Because it's an interesting story. First, before setting those up, you worked in varied careers, call centre, finance, recruitment. What led you to the decision to set up your own business?
To be honest, I had a few jobs that, like you say, call centre, etc. I then went to work for a company called Smart Engine, run by a chap called Matthew Smith, a real entrepreneur. He'd set up various businesses. He kind of showed me how to set up a business, how to run a business. And funnily enough, I'd gone away climbing up into northern Spain, and it was just a wake up call. It literally was a light bulb moment where I thought, well, I've earned a lot of money for other companies. It's about time I stood on my own 2 feet and launched my own business. I have to be honest, at the time, I didn't really know what I was going to do. So I knew it was going to be property. But I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know how to go about it. But anyway, left Smart Engine. Within 2 or 3 weeks, I started looking around for properties that I could potentially buy and refurbish. I didn't really have any money. So what I did, in the end, we found a property in Dinnington. Very, very cheap. Very cheap. And I bought it with 2 credit cards. And that's literally how I got started. I sold my Audi, which was my car at the time. I used that money to refurb the property. And then I managed to sell it with a profit. And that is literally how I got started.
So this was something you put your skin in the game, if you like. You took the risk with your own money from selling your car and borrowed money as well. And obviously you were in the right place at the right time. Now, that's not saying, oh, it's all down to luck. There's a very good quote, isn't there, about the harder I work, the luckier I get. But it was, obviously, the right deal. You were able to buy something as a doer-upper. You were able to do it up. You were able to make money on it. Now, is it always that easy?
Absolutely not, no. during that period, okay, so we had a few good deals and back-to-back, but then we did have a few problem properties where we didn't actually make any money. We've lost money on several property deals. So you're right, we've had an element of luck, and luckily we got myself to a stage where we could afford to probably take a few more risks and, you know, afford to just iron out those kind of losses. But generally speaking, we've always made a profit during that period. And, you know, I started off as a one-man band. Now I've got 10 people working for me and various subcontractors that all work for us. Probably one of the worst deals I ever made. I bought an off-plan apartment in Bulgaria. I thought it was going to be a safe deal, and I lost £30,000 on it. You know, you don't want to be doing that every day.
You do not want to be doing that every day, no. But overall, you've generally increased your portfolio. You have a large portfolio now, and you've obviously learned from the deals that didn't go so well, and to create a positive asset class, a positive portfolio for yourself. Now, what about the property collapse since 2008? How's that affected businesses such as yours?
Well, to be perfectly honest, when you're as a landlord, there's always a rental market there. People need to rent property. The private rented sector is, you know, it's a big part of the housing market in the UK. So it didn't, on the rental side of the business, it didn't have a huge negative impact because our properties were still being let, our tenants were still paying the rent. Admittedly, defaults in rent did increase because people were struggling a little bit to meet their rental demands. However, having said that, at the time, we did have a couple of other companies. We had a mortgage company, which we had to close down pretty sharpish. We also had an investment company that we sold property deals on to other investors and other landlords. Because the mortgage market had closed, it just all the finance available for people who wanted to buy had disappeared literally overnight. So we had to fold that company. So, you know, yes, we've managed to survive it, but it hasn't been an easy run.
No, quite. And as you say, you have to be able to react. You have to be flexible as well to the market conditions.
Yeah.
So you're now... The portfolio is now about a £6.5 million portfolio, is that about right?
That's about right, yeah.
And retaining about 55 properties at the moment.
That's about right, yeah.
Now, would you say you're a good landlord?
Absolutely. We set up Property Partners to manage our own portfolio. We do all our own maintenance in-house, so if a house needs a refurbishment, a kitchen, bathroom, etc., we're always there on hand to do that. Minor repairs, we'll obviously try and get those done as quickly as possible so that the tenants are happy. And generally looking after the well-being of tenants. At the end of the day, we, as a landlord, you're providing a service, a product, if you like, for your tenants. If they're not happy, then they will move on. So it's in your best interest as a good landlord to provide them with a good product. Don't get me wrong, there are certain tenants who abuse that situation. So on the flip side, quite often we get houses that have been completely destroyed by tenants. They are few and far between, thank goodness. But that is a cost then to the landlord. But generally speaking, yes.
Indeed. And the flip side is there will be other landlords who do not take their responsibilities seriously, and that must be frustrating for you if the other landlords affect the reputation of the private landlord sector.
Absolutely. There's always been slum landlords. They've been in the press day in, day out, and they really bring down the reputation of most landlords. It's a very small sector of the marketplace, but it's the one that the media focus on. It's the one where we see the Panorama investigations, etc. We do come across them as an agency. People come to us saying they want their properties being let and managed. When we go to inspect them, they're not up to standard. They won't pass any of the safety checks, which are obviously built into the landlord's side of things. So yes, they do bring down the reputation. But I think as a whole, the private rented sector is actually pretty good, and the quality is always increasing. Government are always bringing in new regulation to further improve the property portfolios of many landlords. But arguably, the slum landlord will always be there.
That's a tough one, isn't it, in terms of they affect everyone's quality of life and they affect the reputation of your business. What about self-regulation then? Can the property industry, can the private rental industry self-regulate as well? I know it does self-regulate, but can it self-regulate better to push out the slum landlords?
Well, absolutely. I mean, if you look at how regulation has come about, even over the past 10, 15 years, safety checks have become more regular. We've got, you know, Legionnaires tests coming in now. We've got all sorts of regulations. Property Ombudsman has also come on board in the past 12 months. So any self-respecting landlord or agency will be working within a framework that is set by the government. You could argue that in some areas they've perhaps gone a little bit too far. You know, they're putting a very big financial burden on a lot of landlords. But ultimately, it's to improve the housing stock and improve the quality of life for tenants. However, there's still that black market. It's like any black market. That area is there. If you've got immigrants coming over and they can't find housing under, you know, local council schemes, they start turning to the black market, and that's where the slum landlord operates.
So the slum landlord is operating in a sort of unregulated space, cramming lots of people into...
Very much so, yeah.
Okay. And with your background in urban regeneration and the current focus on affordable housing in terms of houses, whether they're available to rent or houses to buy for the future and for Britain's future needs. What's your view on house building? Are we doing enough in terms of house building? Would businesses such as yours benefit if there was more house building, if there was more stock? Should we be doing enough should we be doing more in Sheffield?
The house building market has been pretty much stagnant since the collapse of the financial markets in 2007 and 2008, and even at that time Gordon Brown was talking about how many properties were required to be built on a year by year basis. We weren't even achieving the targets at that point. Over this period of what now 7-8 years, you know, we've had no house building going on pretty much. It's been a stagnant and dead market, so we've got a heck of a way to catch up and fill that void. Is it a good thing? Absolutely. You know, more housing stock comes in. What happens then is the quality of the traditional housing stock that's already there improves because you've got more competition in the marketplace. And hopefully then it drives out the slum landlords, because even people at the lower side of the equation can get onto the housing ladder, whether that be rentals or buying.
So it improves it for everybody.
Exactly.
And so you're running Home Team, you're running Property Partners, your businesses interrelate, you have a property portfolio and a rental business.
Yep.
And you're also looking at potentially franchising nationwide, is that right?
That's correct. I mean, that's very much on the Home Team side of the business.
Yes.
So Home Team is a heating installation company.
Yep.
Just to give you a very brief background, we've always done our own maintenance. The reason being is because we were fed up with subcontractors letting us down and letting our tenants down.
Yes. Yes.
You know, we had one guy who was invoicing us for jobs he wasn't even doing. So, you know, it was that kind of, we just didn't want that as part of our business. So we set up Home Team as a brand, as a company, and we went out into the, you know, public domain with it. And over the past few years, that's now developed into a good solid business, which we are now looking to replicate. We've actually got a new franchisee starting, a chap called Mark Gascoigne, who's going to be launching with us next month. We've got a whole new website coming out to support the franchise network, and yeah, it's looking good for the next few years.
Great stuff. Now, I wanted to ask you also about some tips for people running businesses, if we can get some benefit from your own experience. And as you say, you've been through challenges, you've been through ups and downs, you've learned from your own mistakes. And I think whatever the business that our listeners are in, they always want to know about how people we interview have faced challenges, because the business might be totally different, but it's the sort of the story of facing those challenges and dealing with them. So your top tips, things that you know now that you wish you'd known when you started.
Yeah, hindsight's a wonderful thing. Adaptability is certainly one thing. I've quite often set off with a business plan, a business idea, and very quickly I've realised that it's not going to work quite as I thought it would do. So you've got to be able to change in, you know, very rapidly to kind of go down a different avenue. Research, especially in the property market when you're looking to purchase, again, hold my hands up. The deals that I mentioned earlier perhaps didn't do quite enough research. I was a bit laxy-daisy, and that came back to bite me in the bum, so to speak. So research, adaptability, but believing in yourself, you know, believe in what you're doing, and just have a little bit of faith in yourself. And quite often people will say that's not a great idea or don't do this. Well, if you think it is a great idea, and as long as you can see it through and believe in yourself, then just keep going at it, but do be adaptable with it as well.
Be adaptable. Great stuff. Russell, thank you for those tips. I also want to ask you about going into business with people who you have a relationship outside of business with, because you're running a business with your former partner, I understand.
That's correct, yes. Dawn, she is one of the partners in Property Yep. Partners. She's been a partner in the business, obviously, while we've been married, but we did split up 5 years ago. Subsequently, over the that time. We've been very amicable with each other. We've got two children that we obviously have to look after. So it's been an amicable split. We're still very good friends. And she's been a partner. So, yes, it's a balancing act. Having said that, Dawn is now just about to leave the business. Or, sorry, she'll remain as a partner. But ultimately, she's got her own business interest that she's looking to focus on going forward. So, yeah.
And you mentioned at the start when we talked about your light bulb moment.
Mm-hmm.
You were on a climbing trip to Spain. You enjoyed climbing. Other hobbies include skiing, mountaineering.
Yeah.
We're in the right place here in Sheffield.
Absolutely. There's a massive climbing fraternity here. You only have to go down the Broadfield on a Friday or a Saturday evening, and they're absolutely all in there talking about their climbing do's and don'ts. So I'm not a climber per se. I'm not the purest form. I like the mountains. I like being out there. It's great. It gives you a sense of freedom, sense of space and perspective, you know. So all of a sudden you become this very insignificant person, and it gives you a bit of clarity. And that's where I got my light bulb moment, on the side of a mountain, freezing cold, snowing, thinking, how the heck am I going to get down this? it does, certainly. Yeah. Mountaineering, skiing, anything in the mountains is great.
Superb. Great. Well, Russell Short of Property Partners and Home Team, thanks very much for joining us on Business Life today. People can find out more about you. You do have a website.
We have a couple of websites. So Property Partners is all the W's .propertypartnersonline.co.uk, and Home Team, you can find us at www.hometeamuk.com.
Superb. Russell, thank you.
Fantastic. Thanks, Jamie.